I guess I'll have you turn to Exodus 12. Exodus 12. I'll catch up with you in a little while. I want to read some verses. I want you to listen to the subject matter of what these verses say, because you got a pop quiz coming. And I know that's real exciting. Notice what it says again. Just stay where you're at, Exodus 12. In Genesis 29, beginning in verse 20, the Bible says, listen closely, "And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. And Jacob said unto Laban, Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid." Notice verse 25, you listen. "And it came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said unto Laban," notice these verses. I want to turn now to Acts 27, verse 13. Listen to the subject matter. "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete." My second reading. Now the third in Luke 14, 19. The man that's giving the excuse to be excused from the feast gives his excuse by saying, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them." Here's your quiz. How do these three groups of Scripture, how are they in common? What do they have in common? In that Jacob thought he was marrying Rachel, but when he woke up in the morning, he realized his father-in-law, you talk about a trickster, had put in the wrong sister. And it says there, it was Leah. The thought is, instead of Rachel. And then in Acts 27, where it says that they were thinking about taking a trip, and supposing that everything looked calm, they did what they planned to do, and they set sail. And then the third thing is where the man was excusing himself by saying, "I have bought some oxen, and I'm going to try them out." How do these three subjects, these three groups of Scripture, compare? What do they have in common? Well, we probably could mention a lot of things, but what's on my heart is this. In all three instances, somebody supposed or assumed. I want to try to preach this morning on the danger of assuming. When Jacob went to bed that night in the darkness of the tent, he assumed it was Rachel, the right woman, which surely you would. And in the creed where it talks about them setting sail, they assumed that the calm sea meant an easy trip. But they were wrong. Listen, Jacob was wrong, and these people, these sailors were wrong, and then the man trying out the oxen. Well, who in the world buys anything without trying it out? He assumed they were good. He assumed the one that was selling was telling him the truth. We don't know if he was or not. Doesn't matter. But my point is, they all assumed. We can get in trouble when we assume. There's been plenty of times I assumed something, and I got myself in trouble. You may assume your doctor knows what he's doing. You may assume the financial advisor is right. You may assume the weatherman is right. And those things will have an effect on your life. But what I'm talking about this morning is much more dangerous and much more disastrous than that. Now in Exodus 12, beginning in verse 21, these people are in Egypt. God's people, the people of Israel, have been in bondage to Egypt for about 400 years. And God has told them, I'm going to bring you out. Now, I want you to notice as I read these verses the details of the plans that God gives them. And they follow the plan exactly. Here's one reason you can get in trouble by assuming. Listen to me. When you assume that planning means progress. That planning means progress. I will explain my point, hopefully, before I'm done. Here's these people of Israel. And God, in great detail, He gives them instructions. I'm talking about He's giving them a plan to go by. And in essence, He says, if you will follow my plan, you will reach the promised land. Well, now they just assumed that that's what He meant. And they just assumed if we do what He says and make sure that tab A fits slot A and tab B fits slot B, if we make sure we do it like He said, we're going to be in the promised land and we'll be there soon. And they just assumed it's going to be an easy trip. They believe, they assume that planning meant progress. If you work your plan, you will progress and reach the goal. Now with those things, finally let's go to our scripture for this morning. Begin reading in verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb. Listen to the details. Here's God's plan. Here's His instruction to His people. Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel of the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord, now listen, He says, if you'll do this, the Lord's going to pass by, and if you'll do this, you'll be safe from what's about to happen. Verse 23, for the Lord will pass through and to smite the Egyptians, and when He seeth the blood upon the lintel, if you do what I tell you to do, and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. He says, here's my plan. If you work my plan, here's what I'm going to do. I will take you out of Egypt. And they assume that that meant, boy, we're getting out. And it's going to be an easy trip to the promised land. But they were assuming wrong. The entire chapter here deals with the details, the plan that God gave them, and they followed it exactly. They were working the plan. Then look in verse 28. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. They assumed if we do what God said, the way God tells us to do it, we're going to be all right. Things will be finally easy for us. They were assuming wrong. Oh, listen, the Lord did bring them out, but it wasn't going to be an easy trip. Look on in verse 30 of the same chapter. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians that were the great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses. Now, God has said, if you'll do what I say, I'm going to get you free from Egypt and Pharaoh. And that's what we're finding. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up, get ye forth from among my people. Get out of Egypt. both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we are all dead men. We be all dead men. No, my, listen, that's exactly what God said would happen. He said, if you do what I say, if you work my plan, I'm going to get you out. And Pharaoh, who had been seeing no way, Jose, I'm not letting you go. Now he's saying, get out, take everything you got, and good riddance, go away. And even the people of Egypt were saying, get out, get out, get out. In other words, the same, hey, listen to me. The plan seems to be working. You would hear the word, you would assume, hey, this is working good. Because God is working and things are going good. Now go to meet with me to Exodus 14. I want you to turn with me and follow with me this morning. I'm talking about we can assume planning means progress. If I work God's plan, that means things have got to work out. If I do it God's way, it's got to work out. In Exodus 14:2, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn. This is God talking to Moses, the leader of Israel. Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth. I'll get it in a minute. That ain't right, but it's close enough. I ain't going to try again. Between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it, ye shall encamp by the sea. God's still talking. And here he says, here's my plan. I brought you out of Egypt. You're out now. And I want you to go to this place by the sea. And he says, I want you to encamp there. Well, that's not too bad for the people of Israel. In fact, here's what I believe they assumed. Oh my, God has brought us out of Egypt, and we're heading to the promised land, and it won't be long, it won't be hard. And he's just letting us stop for the night. That's a good idea. We need to be rested, and we need to be fresh in the morning where we can head to the promised land. They're assuming it's going to be maybe one day or a couple of days of being camped by the sea before they strike out to the promised land. They assume that. But notice in verse 9 of chapter 14, the people of Israel are camped by the sea. Notice what happens about the Egyptians. The Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, listen to me, and overtook them encamping by the sea. They're working God's plan. They're doing exactly what God said. Now they got out of Egypt fairly easily. And they're camping by the sea exactly like God said. But now, trouble's on the way. Listen to me, the same problems coming after them now. That which they have been battling with and hopefully getting rid of and overcoming Pharaoh in Egypt is coming after them again. In other words, the problem isn't solved. Here comes Pharaoh and his chariots. History tells us he has 600 chariots. That's talking about like tanks of our day. If an army of ours faced 600 tanks, we wouldn't have much hope generally. And not only did these chariots come, but the horsemen came on horseback, coming quickly and violently with strength. And also his army, his footmen came marching, which was close combat. I mean, listen, he had everything he needed to defeat Israel. And they're coming to the place where God said, people, go. And stop. Had they not stopped, Egypt probably wouldn't have caught them. But God brought them out, and he stopped them also. I'm talking about that's God's plan. They're doing what he said. They have obeyed his word, and listen, they are in trouble. They have obeyed his word and his will. They did what he said, how he said, when he said it, exactly how he said it, and they're in trouble. So what does that mean? Well, number one, there's opposition. The foe is involved. There's a whole lot more involved with this story than Pharaoh and Moses, or Egypt and Israel. There's a whole lot more involved. There's somebody not mentioned here. The name's not there. There's not even a suggested in print, but the foe is there. The devil is involved with this situation. And the devil wants them, and my goodness, it worked. He wanted Israel afraid. He wanted Israel to start complaining, and it worked. He wanted Israel to question. Listen to me. He wanted Israel to question themselves. Have we made a mistake? Read the verses. They said we just should have stayed in Egypt. We made a mistake. You can assume when you're bound down and you're at a dead end that you made a mistake in a decision. But if you've walked with God, you didn't make a mistake. It's so dangerous to assume. They assumed we've had it. We're in trouble. They looked up and saw Pharaoh and his army coming. And they looked the only way they could escape, and there was a sea. I'm telling you, there was a dead end to the plan. They assumed. They assumed there's no hope. They assumed we're done for. They assumed we're defeated, but they were wrong. I can't hardly help but get ahead of myself. There's opposition. There's the foe. The devil's involved. I want to tell you something. That you're going through is not just man or sickness or trouble or trials or burdens. The devil's involved with what you're facing. There's an unseen foe involved with every attack on God's people. Look in Exodus 14, beginning in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Why in the world did you tell us to do this? Look at what you brought us to. They're assuming. Listen, it's not just, I'm talking about the opposition. Somebody's opposing what God is doing in the lives of Israel. And you've got a foe opposing what God wants to do in your life. But it's not just the foe opposing. The flesh is opposing. They're scared. By the way, you raise God, they've got a good reason to be scared. But the flesh said, I must have made a mistake. We must be at the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. They assumed they had made a mistake. They assumed they were done for. They assumed there's no hope, there's no help, there's no way out. But they were wrong. There's opposition involved. But thank the Lord, there's opportunity involved. Oh, listen, the devil's taking his opportunity. He's got a chance to attack, and he is doing it, but there's somebody else involved, and that's God. And he's taking his opportunity to do in his people. Listen to me. He's doing what that group of people needed. Oh, they didn't recognize it. They didn't see it. They were assuming, but they were assuming wrong. There was opposition involved. There's opportunity involved. There's an opportunity of helplessness. Exodus 14, 13. Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And I want to say, are you kidding me? If there's anything I don't want to do in this circumstance, is stand still. Run, yeah. Give up, yeah. Swim, yeah. But not stand still. There's an opportunity. There's a, hey, God takes a chance. God takes the opportunity to show these people how helpless they are. They are boxed in at a dead end, and there's no human way they'll ever get out. And God put them right there to show them. Oh, he could have told them. He could have told them. He could have told them in Egypt. They'd probably say, yeah, you're right, God. But they wouldn't have believed it. He could have told them while they're exiting Egypt, you're helpless. And they would say, you're right, God. But they wouldn't have really believed it. But I want to tell you one thing. When they got that dead end and there was no way out, they knew, I'm helpless. I can't do a thing. I can't do a thing. And at that moment of a helplessness, if we aren't careful, we will assume I made a mistake. I did the wrong thing. I made the wrong decision. It isn't working. I'm talking this morning about the danger of assuming. There was an opportunity for God to show them their helplessness. There's an opportunity of helplessness. There's also an opportunity of help. Look in verse 14. I love this. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. He said, just want to let you know, you have not done wrong in following me. And my plan is not wrong. My will is not incorrect. I have not made a mistake. By the way, heaven's all right and everything's fine and you're going the exact way I'm leading you, because I want to give you the opportunity to get some real help from me. He said, the Lord's going to fight for you. See one way, army the next. The only conclusion they could assume is we're about to die. But he, God, put them into a place to give them the opportunity of seeing what real help is. That God can do what I cannot do. And a sea and a soldier's nothing to God. He says, I'm going to help you. There's an opportunity involved. There's the helplessness involved and the help involved. But I believe also there's some honor involved. Look in chapter 14, verse 18. And the Egyptians, I'm just going to tell you about it right now, folks, he says. God says, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. He says, Israel, people, children, I just want to tell you something. I am going to handle Pharaoh and all his bunch, and when I do, everybody's going to know who did it. Israel didn't get any glory. When victory came, you do know they got out, right? Can we go on to the end of the book? Read the last page. And when they got out, they said, oh, look what God did. Honor. God puts us in a dead end. He boxes us in sometimes to where he can do something impossible, to where we have to come back and say, oh, God, thank you. Answering prayer about a job. Answering prayer about needing help. Answering prayer about, and when you feel just so dead in and so boxed in and so helpless and so hopeless, that's when God does his best work. And when he does it, we got to say, oh, Lord, thank you for what you did for me. But they're still assuming he ain't looking too good for us. There's an opportunity involved. There's opposition involved, and there's opportunity involved. But I want to mention this. Did you notice the pause? I'm underlining the pause. That means, listen. There's obedience involved. Hey, listen to me. Their obedience got them where they're at. And anybody with any sense, humanly speaking, anybody would assume, boy, God just doesn't know what he's doing. If me listening to God got me where I'm at, I better start trying to figure out some things on my own. But they, thank the Lord, didn't do that. If there's ever a time, listen to this preacher, if there's ever a time we need to obey him is when we're at a dead end. And it's impossible, and you're going through a problem you cannot handle, and there is no hope, and there is no way to get help if you assume God's not involved. There's obedience. Look in chapter 14, verse 13. I'll say it again. Fear ye not. Okay, God. Who can check that one off? I ain't scared. Oh, you told a fib. He said, there's no reason to be afraid. I say this morning, there's no reason for me or you to be afraid. All that's going on in this world, there's no reason to be afraid. Why? Because God is God. He says, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He said to Israel, don't be scared. Stay where you're at and watch me work. Now, I'll say it again, that's the last thing you would want to do under those circumstances. But obedience to God is vitally important when you're at a dead end. When you're in something you can't get out of. Look at verse 15 of chapter 14, the last part. Here's another command. I'm talking about obedience, what God says. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. He's talking to Moses here. And are you kidding me, God? He said, Moses, you tell Israel to turn toward the sea and walk. I'm assuming Moses missed the instruction somewhere. I'm assuming he ate pizza the last night of Egypt and it's working on his brain. And hey, we need to realize sometimes we assume wrong. And obedience now is more important than ever before if they're to get out of what they're going through. He said, tell them to walk, to go forward. Look in verse 16. Now he's talking to Moses again. The last part, the part I want to get. Lift up. He's talking about what to do. Moses, lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. Okay, God. Sure. Here's what he tells Moses to do. Lift up your rod, spread it out over the sea, and divide it. My history of dividing seas is about as good as my history of walking on water. I fail most of the time. All the time. But God said to Moses, I'm talking about God's plan still. God's plan got them to where they're at. And God says, keep following my plan. Keep going, doing what I say to do. And he tells Moses, pick up your rod, spread it out over the sea. And Moses did. What if he hadn't? I'm going to tell you something. When we get to a dead end, those little things that God tells us to do suddenly become very big. And it literally will change your direction and will pivot or fail or be successful in following the silent, the quietest, the most minute of God's instructions. We must obey Him. I'm talking about there's obedience involved. He says, don't be afraid, stand right there. He said to Israel, finally, go on and start walking. He says to Moses, lift up your rod and stretch it out over the sea. Look in verse 14, we'll go backwards. And the Lord shall fight for you. Could have summarized it. When they did what God said to do, Moses opened, lifted up the rod and stretched it out over the sea, and it went, whoo. Well, now that's pretty good. But I still got a problem. God not only told Moses to raise the rod and divide the sea, which he did and God did, but he also told Israel, walk forward. Now, I'll just be honest. I don't care how much of a miracle that was in dividing the sea. Me walking down through that dry path is going to be scary. And it's going to be the last thing I want to do. I will assume I'll get about halfway across and that'll fall down on me. I'll assume that ain't going to work. I'll assume my eyes must be mistaken. But they had to obey. And they walked across on dry ground, and Egypt started coming in behind them. And when Israel got across to the other side, God said, whoop, and put the Red Sea back. It even says that he made Pharaoh's chariots wheels heavy. They started running off. He made them square wheels, not literally. But it slowed them down. I'm talking about when God's people did what God said, the way God said it, when he said it, God took care. Isn't that what he said? I'll take care of you. The Lord will fight for you. I tell you something. When you're going through the battles you're going through, you need somebody bigger than you to fight. And the Lord said, I'll fight for you. And you'll have peace. And what happened that day is exactly what God said. He said, you will never see them again. And God closed the door. Egypt and Pharaoh was shut out of Israel's life forever. Really? Literally, yes. I'm trying to quit. Literally, they were. Pharaoh was dead. All his soldiers were dead. His army was wiped out. Literally, Egypt was dead. The bridge had been burnt behind Israel. But I got news for you. In the head of Israel, they still fought Egypt. And the influence and the suggestions, even later on, they said, oh, wish we had those onions and garlic. There's times that God gives you victory over something. But if you ain't careful, the devil will keep whispering in your ear, keep nagging you, keep bugging you. It's dangerous to assume. To assume that planning means progress. If I do what God said, 1, 2, 3, I'm just going to go easy. Well, we just at the start of a long journey. I'm sorry. I'm trying to quit. I've said it twice. Next time I'll just keep talking, not say it, because you don't believe it anyway. When you're battling, when you're at a dead end, please realize God has a purpose. I don't know it. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. But please don't assume that you're out of control, or God's out of control, or he doesn't know what he's doing, and realize the progress may seem slow, but God will get you where you need to be. I suppose that's my message. Let's stand together.